Well, good morning. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the church. Well, I believe in the church, and I hope you do too. I'm glad you agree that you also believe in the church. I don't know about you, but I love the church. Do you love the church? The church in so many reasons, in so many ways, because as the church, we all belong. We have a place, and we've been called to be a part of it. We have an identity. We're defined by the church. We have family. We have a purpose. We have a calling. We have a place to serve and to be served, a place to love and to be loved, a place to bear with and to be bared with as well. We have a place to do life together with others, with believers in God, as we pursue our love for God, our love for Christ, our love for the Holy Spirit, and as we continue to want to edify the church and advance the kingdom in this place together. We've been looking at discipleship and about Jesus calling His disciples by saying, come, follow me. And when He asks them and tells them to come follow me, He says, I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, and I'm going to prepare you to make other followers, to make other disciples. And in the end of Matthew, when He gives the Great Commission, He says, after all this time of you following and learning and me bearing with and you learning and us praying together and encouraging and hearing me teach and seeing me walk and talk and seeing me, all the things that I've been doing, now you have been given everything that I have, and you will be given the Holy Spirit to be with you always, to go now and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey what? Everything that I have commanded you. And the good news is that He is always with us. And last week we looked at that the motivation behind all that, His ultimate motivation for coming to this earth, calling people to be disciples, is that His deep love for the world. And we were encouraged last week that as we go out and make disciples, our motivation should only be motivated by love. We should put aside any other motive or any other agenda, all motivated for love and the love of what? That others would come to know Christ. And if we were to fall off and we were not to be remembered, us to be recognized at all, if they were to come to know Christ, that is what love is. And to follow along with that, the church is the context for being a disciple and for making disciples. The church is the context, is the place for where discipleship happens and where we are following Christ and where we help others to follow Christ. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be preaching and reading from Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So here he says, this is the place, the calling that you have been given. You've been called by me to follow me, and then you've been called to call others. And it's all about doing these things together. He mentioned several things here that's all about doing life with, to live life with others. That part of following me, you know, it's awesome that Jesus came and didn't just come here to be alone, that He called people to be a part of Him, to be a part of a community, to go and to show how to... Huh? The flowers. Well, it fell forward instead of back. I thought maybe the water's back there. Maybe we had a whoosh. Baptism, the flowers can't wait. This clean call, they want to follow. Ready to go. If you want to fall in love with Christ, come on. Well, it's about doing this together. And the calling is the calling of following God and making disciples. And We see in Paul's language here, they're talking about the body of Christ as something we can't do alone. We can't do by ourselves. Look at the style of words he uses here. He says, to be completely humble and gentle. You can't be humble and you can't be gentle by yourself. Humility is defined by how you are submitting or putting yourself in respect to another. To be gentle is an outward expression of how you are kind and loving to others. And he says, be patient. You can't be patient with yourself. Patient is something you do towards others. And then bearing with one another. We see all throughout the Scriptures, and this last summer in our Wednesday nights, we talked about some of these one another passages. You cannot one another by yourself. You can't love one another by yourself. You can't forgive one another, care for one another, forgive one another, bear with one another by yourself. The Lord has called us into a one another life. And one another of being with Him and also being with others, of being His disciple and then called to go and make other disciples to be with us, to be with Him. So to be humble and gentle, to bear with others, and that by being and making disciples happens when we are being with others. The church is where we edify and where we, through our gifts, grow into Christ. So the church is the context for being a disciple and for making disciples. The church is also, most definitely, the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, therefore, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There is one body. You need to ask the question, what is the church? And if you're probably to go out in the streets and ask people, take a poll, and maybe I ask to challenge you to do this. You know, what is the church? You get all kinds of answers. And if I ask you before I gave you the answer up here, what is the church? We might say it's this place. It's this building. You know, when you drive around, how many churches do you see? Well, the church is not a building. The church is not a place. The church is not our practices. The church is not our events. The church is not what we do. The church is who we are. If we were to all walk outside to the front parking lot, the church would be in the parking lot, and this would just be a building. If we were all to go out, drive out to the beach together and go stand out there, the church would be out by the beach, and that would be a parking lot, and this would be a building. But the church would be where you are, because you are the body of Christ. There's an old AVB, a cappella vocal band song called You Can't Go to Church. You can't go to church, as some people say, a common terminology we use every day. You can go to a building, that's something you can do, but you can't go to church because the church is you. And so the church is not a place. The church is the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, church is not an option. Church is not an option. It's not possible to be in Christ and not be a part of the church. Christ and the body are one and the same. Otherwise, Christ is just a head with no body. You cannot be, and Christ we know is not lacking. He's not missing anything. He has all His parts together. Christ and the church go together. You can't be a Christian without the church. Otherwise, you are a dismembered body part hanging off on the side of the road or in a house or in a parking lot or even wherever you may be. We've seen all these shows about these crime scene shows, and you've probably seen at some point in your life, maybe you've seen it actually in your physical life, but probably in your media viewing life, you've probably seen a dismembered body part, have you not? On some scene, and it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It's missing. It's lacking. It's not part of a body. It's just a part. You can't be a part of Christ and not be a part of the body, because the body signifies parts. And the blessing is, we all get to be a part of that. We all get to be a part of Him in some way, in some fashion. Just the analogy that Paul uses in Corinthians about the physical body. I mean, how many different parts make up each one of our physical bodies? I mean, it's amazing all the different variety parts that we have externally and internally, and all the things that make this work. And when one part is not working right, it's lacking. But if we were all one part, we just would be a bunch of hands sitting around, or a bunch of eyeballs staring and nowhere to go. It just wouldn't work. Would it? It would not. You can't be a follower of Christ without the church. We're all a part, and the blessing is that alone we can't be complete. We all have our part, and we need others so that we can attain to the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, that Christ by Himself is complete and pure, but He's taken who He is and called people to be a part of Him and filling them with His knowledge and His Spirit to all be a part of it, that part of attaining to all of who Christ is, we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. It involves everybody here and everybody who's not here to continue to attain to that measure. We're going to look at that in just a minute here. But there is, without a doubt, one body. And there is one Spirit that fills us all. There is one Lord. Without a doubt, one Lord above us all. And we all serve together under Him. And there is one faith, which our common belief, our common life with Him. And there is one baptism. There is one mode of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection. There's one way. And there's one God and one Father of all, who is what? Who is over all and through all and in all. And each one has been given a part by the grace of God. It says in verse 7, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Jumping down to verse 11, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And see, He has given each one the measure of His grace, the full measure of His grace, and it shows itself off in different ways, in different actions. Some preach, some teach, some serve, some speak, some do different acts of grace, but all working for the benefit of Christ. Different parts, together we make up the body in the fullness of Christ. He is over all and through all and in all. On ourselves, we're just a part. How can a part be all? A part cannot be all. We cannot be all in all. We only are all in a part of the all in all when we are part of the body. Get this. Christ equals church. Church equals Christ. You cannot separate those two. Because if they are, they're dismembered. Christ equals body. Body equals church. Church equals Christ. Aren't you blessed to be a part of the body of Christ? The church is the context for disciple making. The church is the body of Christ, and there are different parts. And what a blessing that there are different parts. Because you got to be honest. Not one of us can do it all, can we? We try. You try that? How's that working out for you? You try to be the all in all for everybody around you? Has that working out? Can you do that very well? We try. Oh, I do it. Right? Manly man can do it all. Can we, guys? No. Can we, ladies? No, it's best because we have a part. That's why it's important that we need others. There are different parts doing life together. Picking up in Ephesians chapter 4, 12 through 13, it says, why these different parts? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith, one faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, one Lord, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the whole measure of the fullness of Christ is in the context of the church. It is the church. You want to know what Christ is all about? It's about the church. And you see the plurality here. You can't do this alone. You can't do this by yourself. Body, first of all, talks about multiple parts. To prepare God's people. Not prepare God individual, but prepare people for what? For acts of service. And how do you serve? Serve is not something, well, you can serve yourself all day long, but that's not really what service is. That's just indulging, right? Serving is what we is doing about the other. So that the body, again, the church, may be built up together. You know, let's build a human pyramid with one person. Let's build a human ladder with one person. I'm starting. I'm growing, right? Like, no, you stopped growing when you were 13 years old. I did. This is where I'm at. And so, to build, you got to have other parts to build. We're built together. So why? So we all reach unity in one faith, in one Lord. Becoming mature. How do we mature? It happens in the context of the body. How do we learn and grow? By learning from other parts, by being taught by others, encouraged by others, challenged by others, disciplined by others, equipped by others, serving with others, to mature through the body. And then through that, to attain to the full measure, the fullness of Christ in the church. So the church is the context for disciples and disciple making. The church is the body of Christ, and the church is a community. It's a community where real living, real life happens. It's where discipleship, where ministry, where fellowshipping, where serving happens. You see a lot of these INGs, a lot of action here. Let's read Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. It says, therefore, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, he used this analogy of an infant. As an individual part, we are helpless. And when we are blown around and we're knocked over like those plants there, that plant is there by itself. It cannot pick itself up. But when I come closer to it and I'm part of this body, it's helpless. It got blown over by some wind or some spirit or some urging to want to be a part of you or something to be picked back up. And an infant is helpless and independent. And many of us think, well, I can do this on my own. I don't need the body. When we're alone and we fall over, no one's there to help pick us up. No one's there to help us. Maybe we think that, hey, I ain't got it all together, to see that maybe we have something that's lacking that we can't see because we're missing some parts. We're just a mouth talking this way. We're just some feet walking this way. We have no eyes to see or see something that's not quite right. That we are in a community living and acting together. It says that we instead, not alone, but we are speaking and teaching and being taught, challenging and being challenged. We're growing into Christ together. The whole body is growing together, held together. How are we held? Can you hold yourself together? We try that, right? I'm holding it strong. I'm holding myself together. What about when things start pushing against you? Can you hold yourself very well? Maybe for a while. There's some pretty strong, solid people here. You know, one thing about not being tall, I have a low center of gravity. I can hold strong for a while. But something big enough is going to push. But if I have others that are supporting me. It's amazing how much one can resist when pressure is applied. Supporting each other, growing and building in love. How do you build in love? By loving others, by practicing love. But how are you going to do that? In the context of being around other parts of the body, by being part of the church and being part of Christ. And that's what he says, yes, this is what it's all about. About loving the God, the first other, and God loving others, anyone else, and all else. And then working, each one working to do its part. See, when believers try to disconnect themselves from the body is missing, is lacking, is missing out on what you or others could bring. The blessing. You know, one way of trying to reach people for Christ is saying, you need the church. And maybe they do need the church, but the church needs you. What you have, the gifts that you have, the heart that you have, the talents that you have, the church needs you so we can continue to build and grow. And I said, I love this. It says, and from him, the whole body joined together and held by every supporting ligament. You know, I just see this image of being drawn in closer and closer and tighter. You know, when something gets strung out, gets loosened up and starts losing its parts, it becomes weak and unstable. It's when it's drawn in. And that's the mind of what a community is. You know, think about the different communities that you're involved in. When you gather in this place or gather around in your neighborhood or we're gathering here in this place, we've come from all different areas and all different places. I don't know where everyone's traveled from this morning, but we are now connected together. And it goes back to what he says in Ephesians 4:2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That we get to bear with others. Some are like, I don't want to bear with him. But will you bear with me? You know, and that bearing is something we can't do alone. You know, I was on a backpacking trip with some old college roommates many years ago, and we were all trained up and all thought we were in physical shape to do it. And I actually was coming off a knee surgery, and I thought, man, I'm probably going to be the weakest link, but I got myself there, and no one had to really bear with me. But coming down, one of the guys in a group, I thought, man, he's an athletic guy. You know, he's thin and strong, and he's been prepared. But going up the mountain, everyone was fine. Everyone carried their own load and got up there. And then on the return trip, I always forget sometimes coming down is harder than going up. We think all the climbing is tough, but we forget about, you know, the instability and the weariness of coming down off of something. I see the guys that have had some knee stuff going, yeah, I know that. And he started coming down, and one of his knees was aching him. And he started holding back. And what did we all do? We bared with him. And bearing with him was some guys took some of his pack off and put it on their pack. And some guys took more and more off of his pack to the point where he couldn't carry any of his pack. And part of me is going, man, that guy's a wuss. He can't carry his own load. We all carry our own loads. Why can't he carry his, you know, any loads? But he couldn't carry anything. He couldn't bear any weight. He had to find a heavy, sturdy stick to put all the pressure. And I know some of you know that about that. You can't put any weight. You have to bear it on another limb. And so everyone was able to bear that. He would not be able to bear alone. And you have to be together, meeting everyone's needs. And that only happens when you draw near together. And when you draw near together, no one's on the outside. No one's on the fringe. No one is sitting, should ever be sitting, or eating, or walking alone. I love the image of the church in Acts. It says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his or her own, but they shared everything that they had, and that there were no needy persons among them. Well, we are a gathering of Christ's followers, joined together as the body of Christ. And as we have one of these tables that we set our communion table on. I was going to try to pick that Remembrance of Me table up, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't bear it alone. But imagine this, and I want you to turn towards this. I want you actually to stand up. Everyone stand up. We come together as the body of Christ, and look. Gather around a table like this to remember the Lord as the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, and it brings us together. We come together to worship, to serve, to love one another. And there should be no one on the outside. Some of you that are on the outside, come in. I don't know why anyone would ever let someone be on the outside, or why you would ever allow yourself to be on the outside. Because you're all part of this. You need it. You are needed. And when you look around, I think this is when God says, for God so loved the world. I think He had this in mind. That God so loved the world, He gave His Son. He lifted His Son up in the middle of all the world to say, all the world gather around Him. And He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And look, as you gather around Him and respond to His love, look at us coming together, that we are the church. And I wonder, I ask you, what is your part? Are you committed to this community of believers? And what does that mean to be committed to this community of believers? Are you a part of this community just on Sunday or throughout the week? Are you committed? Are you doing life together? Are you bearing with one another? Are you serving one another? Because when we say the last amen and our potluck's over, we're all going to disperse and the church is going to go out. Are you gathering? You know, we are the church. And we need to be involved in each other's lives and intertwined in each other's lives, gathering together in community throughout, I mean, every day if possible, to meet each other's needs and to grow in Christ around, and to be committed to gathering around the Lord's table every Lord's day, and gathering around our tables and your tables and restaurant tables, to be intertwined, to be involved, to be invited. You know, who are you inviting to be a part? Who's missing out? And who are we missing out on by not being including and inviting? And have others to be included in what you're doing, how you're serving, how you're growing, how you're loving, what you're experiencing, so that you can bear with and they can bear with you. And to become intimate. You know, intimacy is drawing in near and drawing in close. So I ask you, as we get to our close, is, are you committed to this community of believers? Do you know your part? And if you know your part, what does it mean for you to continue growing as that? And if you don't know that part, are you ready to get involved in a powerful way? Being drawn to Christ, of lifting Him up for the benefit of all around, that no one should be on the outside, no one should be on the fringe, no one should be marginalized, but all brought in towards the community of God. If you are outside of Christ this morning and you like to give yourself to the Lord and be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection to respond to that invitation of come follow me, then come and do that. If you have a concern on your heart that you'd like to share, this is the place where we bear. This is how we bear. This is how we care. This is how we grow together, by meeting one another's needs. If there's anything else we can do as we commit to being a part of this community, let us do that this morning as we stand and as we sing.